Blog Talk Radio.
I hopped off the plane at LAX with a dream, my cardigan. Welcome to the land of fame excess. Am I gonna fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood. Crazy, everybody seems so famous. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kinda homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. That's when the taxi man turned on the radio and the Jay-Z song was on. And the Jay-Z song was on. And the Jay-Z song was on. So I put my hands up to play that song with butterflies fly away. Nodding my head like yeah, moving my hips like yeah. In my taxi cab, everybody's looking at me now. Like, who's that chick that's rocking kicks? She gotta be from out of town. So hard with my girls not around me. It's definitely not a Nashville party. Cause all I see is stilettos. I guess I never got the memo. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kinda homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. That's when the DJ drowned my favorite shit. And a Britney song was on. So I put my hands up to play that song with butterflies fly away. Nodding my head like yeah, moving my hips like yeah. I got my hands up to play that song. You know I'm gonna be okay. Yeah, it's a party in the USA. Yeah, it's a party in the USA. Feel like I'm
David Reagan with Front Row Motorsports, driver of the Dockside Logistics Ford, and you're listening to the Pit Stop Radio Show with Tim Despain.
Live from Talladega, Alabama, you're in the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. Big thanks to Talladega Super Speedway Track President Grant Lynch and Public Relations Director Russell Brown. And it's not too early to purchase your tickets for the Winn-Dixie 300 on May the 2nd for the NASCAR Xfinity Series, or the Talladega 500, May the 3rd, for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. Purchase your tickets, call 877-GO-TO-DEGA, or visit TalladegaSuperspeedway.com. This is more than a race. This is Talladega. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, after a great holiday weekend. I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And at this time, I'd like to bring my good friend, the Reverend for the show from Riverside, California, Reverend Joe on the show.
Happy
hey,
New
Reverend,
Year.
Hey, Reverend, how you doing tonight?
Okay, Happy New Year. Doing okay.
Happy New Year to you, buddy.
For a minute,
thank you very much.
I'm calling into some hokey show in Talladega or something.
Well,
what's
yes,
happening with
you? Well, we got some weather coming. It's going to be really, really cold. They're talking about some single digits Thursday morning. But, yeah, you know, just like I've always said, Reverend Joe, I'm just a little bit road country boy from Alabama.
Exactly. Well, you know, I was telling your wife, we had 3 inches of snow here a little over a week ago, which is the first time in like 25 years that there was snow here. It was ridiculous. I really got mad. I was going to call the governor and tell him I wanted a discount. I didn't pay for snow when I came to California. Up in the hills, I can go
That's
there,
right,
but I don't want it down here.
That's right. You want sunshine, surfboards, and palm trees, right, bud?
That's what I paid for Pete's sake. Well, anyway, it's all good. We survived.
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir.
And, I know you got a busy show you... tonight, so.
Yes, sir. And yes, sir, but I want you to send out a prayer request to my good friend, Rudy Brannon. It's Russell Brannon's cousin. Russell's the public relations director here at Talladega Super Speedway. He's in the hospital with some health issues. If you want to add him in, we surely would appreciate it, bud.
We'll do it. Lord, we start off tonight by, right off the bat, we want to lift Russell up to you and ask you not only to heal him, but to guide the doctors, give them the knowledge they need to take care of this situation, show them the right things to do and get him healed up and back on out of that hospital as soon as possible. And we thank you for Russell, and we thank you, Lord, that we know you're going to do that for him. Also ask you tonight for blessings upon all those who are listening into our show, all those involved with auto racing, all those that are making the decisions on what to do for this next season. Also ask your blessings upon all those who cover the sport and all those who report on the sport. We ask your safety for all the drivers, and we know we have testing coming up soon and all those kind of busy things, plus all the men are busy back at the shops. So please protect all them, watch over them, and watch over us all, and be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Reverend. Joe, I say it every week, as always. Great invocation. Thank you for being a reverend for the pit stop with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson. And do you have any news you'd like to throw out for 2015, what you have going on with all your stuff?
We're starting, you know, here we are starting another season and getting ready. And we've got races coming up starting at the end of February, even out here locally. So naturally we need lots of prayer for our travels and also some help financially. We're still looking for a good sponsor for the ministry in general, corporate sponsor or such. But every little small amount that someone goes to our website and donates helps every bit of the way. That's how we got around last year. Just a little $10 and $5 donations people sent in help us tremendously. We've got that going on. the sun's back shining again, so we got rid of the snow, so we're smiling a little bit there. And our first, well, we've got a couple of local tracks that are opening up, and then our first major foray will be the three West Coast Cup events, which is Vegas, Phoenix, and California Speedway. And even though California Speedway is only 40 miles away from my home, still all these things cost money. And I'm just thankful to God for the fact that the price of gasoline's come down. I hope it stays for a while.
Yes, sir. Amen, Reverend. And would you like to throw out there where everybody can follow you on social media and your website and everything you got to follow, boy?
Yeah, the website is ontrackwithjesus.org. And they can also look me up on Facebook. And that's, you've got the Facebook link. Why don't you post it for me?
Okay, I will. I sure will.
I appreciate
Reverend.
That.
Yes, sir. And again, thank you very much. And stay warm out there when you got snow in California. That just don't sound right, bud.
No, it doesn't. But you guys be blessed and have a great show. And I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir, bud. Have a great one. Thank you very much.
All righty. Thanks. Take care.
All right. See you, Reverend. Okay, that was our Reverend, Mr. Reverend Joe from Riverside, California. At this time, I'd like to bring on my good friend, co-host, and CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Stephen, how's everything going tonight, my bud, my friend?
It's cold. It's real cold.
I know it. It's cold in Talladega.
Well, y'all can keep the cold down there. I need to be warm again. They talk about snow up this way, and I told Suzanne I'm gonna send the snow your way. You guys can have it.
No, Stephen, I don't want it because I work at Coosa Bay Electric. I'd have to work in a. Since I'm not, which I'm still a lineman, which I'm not out working on the line crew right now, I've got the graveyard. But anyway, Stephen, can you hold on for just a second? We've got our good friend, ABC 3340 meteorologist, it's Megan Thomas. Let's bring Megan on and let her give the forecast. And I don't know if she can do yours or not, but let's bring Megan on. Megan, how you doing tonight? I know I have nicknamed you Mother Nature, but like Suzanne yes. said earlier, where is, good Lord, Megan, it's going to get cold.
Oh, it's going to get real cold. She wants 90 degrees and sunshine. I can give her the sunshine, but I can't do the 90 degrees.
Yes, ma'am. She's wanting to take that cover off the pool back there. I said, Suzanne, I ain't getting in that pool. I mean, you know, we got to wait in the summertime. Good Lord.
I know. I
but
mean,
anyway, Megan.
Very cold.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to tell you that on Thursday is going to be our coldest day. Tomorrow, high is only going to be in the 30s, upper 30s at most. And then on Thursday morning, we're starting things off around 10 degrees in most places. If you're headed, like, anywhere near, I would say Gadsden and like 278 pointing east and then up north or west and then up north, you're looking at single digits. It's going to be a cold morning on Thursday and highs will be below freezing all day long.
Okay, so it's a good idea if I stay in the office at Coosa Valley Electric that day, correct?
Yes, just stay in bed. Stay wrapped in
yeah.
the covers. I mean, the sunshine will be great. It's going to be, if you're in the sun, it'll feel nice on your face, but the wind is going to be howling anywhere from 15 to 30 miles an hour. So so tomorrow night, or Thursday night, I should, or Thursday morning, we could, you know, feel like it's going to be 0 degrees around here with the wind chill.
Mother Nature, that ain't what I wanted to hear. But now, I've been watching it and everything, and y'all talking about maybe a warming trend, which I say a warming trend, at least you get above freezing sometimes, Friday or Saturday?
Yeah, so Friday highs will be in the 40s and sunshine. Same with Saturday, 46 on Saturday with sun. Sunday, there's a slight chance for some showers around here. I think south of I-20, more showers than around in central Alabama and north Alabama, but, you know, that's still far away. Monday, highs get back into the 50s. On Sunday, they'll be in the 50s. And we stay above freezing Monday morning through the first part of next week. So we're warming up to the 50s, if you would say.
Well, that's good. That's at least a small warming trend. But Megan, we want to thank you for everything. We want to thank you for everything that you do from ABC 3340 over there in Birmingham and keeping us up with the weather. You, James Spann, and Charles Daniels, y'all do a really great job. And we're going to let you hit the floor to let everybody know where they can follow you on social media, Megan. You got the floor.
Yeah, go ahead and follow me on Twitter at MegTom_WX, or you can find me on Facebook at Meteorologist Megan Thomas.
Megan, thank you very much, as always. Well, I'm not going to say a great forecast. I'm going to say a great job, but a bad forecast.
Yeah, well, y'all stay warm and enjoy the sunshine.
Thank you very much, Megan. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds great. Bye-bye. All
right, take care, Megan. Bye. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that was Megan Thomas, ABC 3340, local meteorologist here for our Stephen. Okay, we've got at the bottom of the hour, we've got Motor Sports Marketing Manager at Ford Motor Company, Mr. Tim Durr, coming on. Then at the top of the hour, and Tony B segment, Everything Open Wheel, we've got driver the number 8 Ford Marker Racing Series presented by Menard, Mr. Patrick. I'm probably going to mess this name up, but just bear with me. Star of Poli. He's going to come on. Anyway, Stephen, I hated to jump in there, but we had Megan coming on with the local forecast right here. And I know there's been a lot of news coming out of NASCAR today as far as crew chief changes and everything like that. Would you like to go over some of that stuff, bud? Stephen, can you hear me, brother? Are you there, Stephen? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Stephen dropped. He's up there in the mountains of Richmond. Maybe he'll call back in. But yeah, there was some news coming out of NASCAR today. I think Richard Petty Motorsports had some stuff going on. I'll see if I can find out. I think Stuart Haas had anything going on. But we'll see what else going on here. Stephen dropped for just a moment. He's up there in the sticks. Don't take that the wrong way, Stephen. But this upcoming year, I think it's going to be a really great year for NASCAR. I think NASCAR really hit a home run with this new chase format and everything. And Robin Pemberton and everybody carry for NASCAR, so there's not going to be any changes as far as the Hey, Steven, you got me now, bud.
Yeah, man, I got you now, Tim. Sorry about that.
Okay, I just went over. I got a window. Yes, sir, I got you. Can you hear me?
Okay, good, good. Sorry about that. I think I faded out there a second.
I think Steven dropped again. Steven's dropped again. Let's bring Todd on. Let's bring Todd B at the end of the pit stop. He's playing Stephen Wilson. Todd, can you hear me, my friend?
I most certainly can.
All right, good. I got you, bud. Steven's having some signal problem up there. Yeah, we were talking earlier. We got Tim Durrell, Motorsports Marketing Manager at Ford Motor Company, coming on to the bottom of the hour. He should be on here in just a few minutes, about 10 minutes. But Todd, how you doing? Is everything 10 for you?
I'm doing good.
Good, good.
Getting excited. We pre-ordered our tickets, and I did something this year I never did before. So since I'm kind of like getting into going to the races, and now I'm getting dragged by the fiance and her son. So we're doing cold passes this year.
And that's to the Glen, correct, Buck?
Yes, sir. We will be in the lawn chairs on turn 7, the last turn before the straightaway.
Okay, sounds good. And Todd, if you don't mind, can I put you in mute? We got Stevens back on. We want to get him back on. He's having some signal problems, but at the bottom of the hour, I'll put you over in the mute button, bud, and I'll talk at you in a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. You got me, my friend.
Yeah, I think I got you this time. I'm not sure. This phone is being a little bit of a pain tonight.
It's not being a Kyle Busch, is it? Oh, Tim, you shouldn't have said that. Anyway, Stephen, you got the floor, bud. I know there was some crew chief stuff said today. Me and you had talked earlier, but we hadn't really had, you know, time to really talk about it because, you know, you work a full-time job just like I do. I work a full-time job. But you got the floor, bud. We've got about 8 minutes before Mr. Tim Durrell comes on.
Yeah, I mean, we got a bunch of crew chief announcements, but a lot of those guys just got back in the shop yesterday, and we've already got a couple of crew chief announcements as far as that's concerned. Starting over at the Penske-Wood Brothers combination for next year, Jeremy Bowens is going to move over to the Wood Brothers Racing Team with the technical alliance with Penske Racing, which is going to field Ryan Blaney next year in about 18 to 20 events throughout the year. And it was funny because the other day, Eddie Wood, he was on the radio talking about how Wood Brothers are really interested in getting back in full-time racing. They've, over the last about 7 or 8 seasons, have been running about 18 to 20 events per year with partnership from Ford Motor Company and Motorcraft. And, in the future, they'd really like to get back into full-time racing. So this year, they've brought Jeremy Bowens in. He's going to crew chief to number 21 there for Ryan Blaney, with the technical alliance that they have with Penske Racing. Downey Wingo, who was the crew chief for the last couple of years with Trevor Bayne behind the wheel, he has moved over to Front Row Motorsports in the number 38 with David Gillen starting this week, who Downey will now be the full-time crew chief over there. There's a little bit of movement as far as that's concerned. Donnie's a good guy. I mean, he's got a lot of knowledge behind him. So I think he'll do well over there, trying to get their program in order a little bit better, maybe compete a little bit more. You might see them up front a little bit this year. Roush Fenway Racing this year, they've already announced their lineup as far as they're concerned. Bob Osborne is going to crew chief the number 6 for Trevor Bayne, who's moving over full-time back to Roush Fenway Racing, up from the NASCAR Xfinity Series in the number 6 car. Matt Pusho will be behind the number 16, and Greg Biffle again, and Nick Sadler is going to be with the number 17. Bob Osborne, who has been the crew chief for Carl Edwards for the past few seasons, he's actually going to move into a research and development role, as he said at the end of the season that it would be his last atop the crew box. So he's moving into a little bit of R&D role for Roush Fenway Racing, and hopefully this year, they've got a strong lineup as far as that's concerned. They've got to get some stuff in gear from last season. They did not have the best year at all. One of the most surprising things that Roush Fenway has done this year is, at the end of the year, Bubba Wallace said that he had no ride. The truck at Kyle Busch Motorsports was being filled by Justin Boston and a couple other guys over there, and they brought Roush Fenway has brought him into a full time ride with the number 6 in the Xfinity Series, which Chad Norris is going to take over in the crew chief for him. So it's going to be interesting. I'd like to see what Bubba is going to do over there. He's been very good in the truck series, and he's most deserving of to move up. He had multiple wins last year and competed. I mean, he was really in contention all the way through the end of the year. If it wouldn't have been for some bad luck there and possibly going for that championship.
Yeah, I am. I'm definitely glad Bubba got a ride because, I mean, you know, he's one heck of a race car driver, and I'm glad to see him get a ride. And, you know, Stephen, you were talking about all these crew chief changes, and there's probably not a lot of people really think about this except for, you know, the media, you and I, you know, we'll think about, you know, they do crew chief changes, they do driver changes, you know, Carl Edwards going over to Joe Gibbs Motorsports, but a lot of people don't think about the actual crew changes, and we really don't hear much about that. And have you heard anything as far as crew members, Stephen, as far as moving over to here, yonder, or wherever?
You know, that's one of the things that most of these teams never really put out much information about. A lot of these guys are, you know, training and development with other organizations, Joe Gibbs Racing, Hendrix, Richard Childress Racing, Roush Racing, Penske. You know, they lend a lot of these guys out, so they move around so often. You know, it's worse than trying to figure out where your driver is going to be because there's so little information about who's on the team. But the only time you ever hear about anybody is, you know, when they're popping them for, you know, some sort of abuse issue, and then even half the time they don't tell you who they're with, and it's really hard to try and find some of this information out. I wish teams would kind of do a little bit more. I mean, Stuart Haas Racing in the last couple of years, they've put together a list of who's on their teams week in and week out, and they've done a real good job about keeping it up, but the rest of the teams, you know, not too much information on who's going to go where. I think a lot of it is, you know, a lot of them are moving up from other roles. You know, there's so many different roles within the crew structure that you never really hear about them until they move up to, like, a car chief or crew chief or something of that nature.
Yeah, that's understandable, Stephen. And, you know, you just brought up a point that made my mind think, you know, talking about Kurt Busch. I seen where Bob Pocker sent out one of his releases from Sport News. I think the somebody's done looking at the case, and they send over to the DA or whatever. Have you heard anything on that about the Kurt Busch and his girlfriend incident?
As of yesterday, the AP has reported that the local Dover Police Department has finished their investigation. They've talked to all the witnesses. They've talked to Kurt Busch. They've talked to his ex-girlfriend as well as others around him. They put their report together, and it's been sent to the Dover District Attorney's Office, which will review the case and announce some kind of charges, if there will be any charges. But as of right now, they're not making too many comments on when this decision will come down. I guess we should hear something in the next couple of weeks. I'm not sure how Dover does it, but I know here in the state of Virginia, they only convene grand juries to take up charges once a month. So it may be a few weeks before we actually hear anything from them.
Yeah. And, you know, we can't take sides. See, we got to let, you know, we got to hear both sides and see what happens. I mean, you know, you never know in a high profile case like this with such a high profile driver like Kurt Busch. And I did say where somebody had asked Robert Pemberton, and he said he was not going to comment until after the statement come out of from the Dover Police Department or whoever that they sent it to. So I mean, there's been a lot going on in NASCAR, you know, recently. A lot of high-profile stuff. Your Tony Stewart, your Kurt Busch. I mean, just I guess, I mean, you know, when you're in the spotlight, it's like if you make a wrong step or if you step on a twig or you say the wrong word, it's like everybody just wants to hang you or something, bud.
Well, I mean, you know, everybody that's out there in this spotlight, they know what they're getting into. So they have to be held to a higher accountability than I feel other people should, because a lot of people do look up to athletes as role models, no matter who that they might be. And these people out there, they really have that role that they have to take on, and they have to be in what I feel my opinion is, they have to show the way. They have to be the leaders in whatever that they do. They show everybody else out there that, you know, the right way and the wrong way of doing things. And, you know, everybody makes mistakes. You know, none of us are perfect by any means. And, you know, but these everybody out there is an athlete. You really have to they have to be extra careful in what they do. And I'm not going to take any sides on what's wrong, right, wrong, or indifferent. And, you know, that's that's for people above me and the court system and police departments to really make those judgments. As the media, we just report what we know and what's coming down, and everybody has to make their own, you know, judgment calls on how they feel about a particular person or a particular athlete at that time.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head again, Steve. And I think we talked about it probably multiple times on the show about, you know, when you're in that high-profile driver, you know, it don't matter if it's NASCAR or baseball, football, what have you, there's a lot of kids that really look up to these athletes. And, you know, they need to understand that they need to behave like human beings. And, you know, I probably didn't mean to say that. I'm not throwing them all to the dogs, you know, because stuff does happen, like you said, and, you know, sometimes you just can't control it. But with these young kids coming up nowadays, they have heroes. They got heroes in NASCAR, stick and ball sports, everywhere else. And these kids really look up to these race car drivers, Steve. I mean, they'll take their bedrooms and just put, Kurt Busch stuff everywhere, curtains, bed sheets, everything. I mean, these kids really get into it.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, every one of these people out there, they're all these athletes that compete in this sport, stick and balls, football, baseball, soccer, no matter what it is. Yeah, definitely. I mean, these are role models to kids. They're you know, role models to a lot of people that grew up, even adults that grew up liking these athletes, and, you know, still look up to them and look to them as that hero in their life. And you're right, they have to be extra careful in what they do. You can't always control everything in your life. We all make mistakes, and, you know, it's up to others. You know, I'm not going to criticize, condemn, or complain about anybody. I'm just, you know, of the opinion that I'm going to report what I know at the specific time that is out there, and I leave it up to everybody else to make their own opinions of somebody. I'm not going to try and sway somebody's opinion one way or the other on any topic.
No, I won't either. I will not either, Steve. I mean, you know, you got a lot of people that don't like Danica. I hate to really bring that up, but I just saying Suzanne's got her good friend. Let's bring on Motorsports Marketing Manager for a motor company, Mr. Tim Durr, into the pit stop with Tim Espain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Tim, how are you
here,
doing
Tim?
Tonight, brother?
I'm doing great.
How's
everybody down there in Talladega?
Cold, Tim, which I know it's colder up there where you're at.
Yeah, Suzanne just said threw out some temperatures, and I said we got that beat up here in Michigan. It's, in fact, tomorrow morning it's supposed to be 4 degrees when I drive into work, and then it's going to stay cold for a while. We've got snow going up here. We've got, you know, winter's now in full stride. We've had a nice early portion of winter, but now that we're back to work and we're in January, Mother Nature's at its worst for us.
Yes, sir. I understand. Like, we had our local meteorologist, Megan Thomas, maybe C3340, on earlier. She was giving us our weather forecast for Central Alabama. I told Megan, I said, so I probably need to stay in the office tomorrow. I don't need to go out. She said, Tim, stay in the office. Yeah, but Tim, I want to thank you for taking time out to come on our show with Stephen Wilson and I and Suzanne and everybody. But, I know your time is limited. Just maybe want to talk about how your career with Ford Motorsports and how you actually got involved with the marketing side of it, if that's okay, bud.
Sure. I believe it or not, and I know I don't look it, but I've been with Ford for 38 years now. Started right out of college. I went to a small school in Valparaiso, Indiana, Valparaiso University, and 2 weeks after graduating with a bachelor's degree in business administration, I started working for Ford in customer service out of St. Louis, and spent a majority of my career in the field with Ford Motor Company, working for Ford Division and Lincoln and Mercury Division, and two stints in Detroit. I've been up in Detroit now since 2000, and in 2006 I got a call asking me if I wanted to be one member of a six-person marketing team at Ford Racing. And I said, sure, that sounds interesting. Although I'll tell you what, Tim, I wasn't a race fan growing up. I grew up in western New York, city of North Tonawanda, New York, just north of Buffalo. And aside from Ransomville Speedway up there, there wasn't really much racing going on. And I didn't follow, you know, motorsports that closely. I was more of a Bills and Sabres fan, stick and ball guy. And then wherever I lived around the country, I always followed the stick and ball sports. And I think that's what Ford was looking for. They were looking for somebody that had a lot of marketing and sales background, but wasn't a diehard fan to come in and take a look at business development, running the fan club, the website, social media. And, you know, about 2 years after I got up and running with Ford Racing, we went into that, you know, down market where, boy, you know, some of the manufacturers were declaring bankruptcy, taking some pretty big loans. Ford was, you know, hanging on by the threads and you know, just trying to do everything we could to stay alive as a company, much less, you know, worry about certain investments. And, you know, but Ford stayed very, very strong to NASCAR. Now, we lost our whole marketing department except for me. I was the one sole survivor. We had a few take early retirements and a few shifted to other areas, but I stayed with it, and it's really paid off because not, I've learned so much about NASCAR, which is where I spend about 80% of my time. I was very active with the NHRA group of drivers, teams, and sanctioning bodies until, you know, the word's out there now, you know, we're out of NHRA. But we've also grown in some other areas where we've, you know, we're now into IMSA and USCC with Chip Ganassi, and we're very involved in action sports with Global Rally, Rallycross, X Games, and some new up-and-coming venues where we really think we're going to captivate a lot of younger audience, yet a lot of sports fans. But I've been doing the racing job now for 8 years. I absolutely love it. I get to come out to the racetrack about 25-30 trips a year, and it's very rewarding to work with, you know, NASCAR, the sanctioning body, and all the, you know, contractual obligations we have with them as being an official partner. I get to work with our exciting race teams and drivers. You know, NASCAR is all about the drivers, so we try to showcase and utilize that star power in everything we do at Ford. I get to work with the racetracks like Talladega, you know, get to work operationally with all of them. But a big piece of what I do, and it, which is very rewarding for me, is I get to grow the Ford business through business-to-business relationships and business-to-race fan initiatives with our sponsors. You know, everybody that's an official NASCAR Barmark sponsor, you know, I have direct access to them, you know, to do these B2B and B2C actions, along with all our race team sponsors, along with all the track sponsors. And we all work collectively together to engage the race fans because, you know, at Ford, you know, to take advantage of a sport that's got 75 million fans in NASCAR, they're the most loyal of all, you know, fans out there of any sport. It's the largest spectator sport when you can, you know, put everybody together, both TV and in track audience. And 83% of NASCAR fans are I'm sorry, 83% of race fans are NASCAR fans, and 19% of the race fans are also Ford race fans. So when you put everybody into the purchase funnel and we start working with them, we find out that Ford racing fans are by far Ford Motor Company's best customers. So that's what's helped, you know, Ford keep our investment in motorsports, even though we went through those times that I was talking about that were just so challenging. So that's a little bit about me, what I do, and how lucky I am to have this this job at Ford Racing.
Sounds good, bud. And just a little bit about me. I'm just a Mr. Old Road Country Boy down here in Talladega, Tim, and I work at a local electric co-op here in Talladega, Coosa Valley Electric, and that's just a little bit about me, but I want to ask a question, and if I'm touching where I don't need to touch, you let me know, and we will not talk about it. Whenever Roger Penske or whenever Dodge announced that they were going to pull out of our sport, did Ford go to Roger Penske, or I mean, what I'm trying to say, Tim, is Did y'all think Roger might go back with Chevrolet, which I know he was with Ford prior, or did y'all know Roger was going to come on with y'all?
Well, I a lot of things happened at the during those times, and obviously, you know, Roger can give you a direct answer to that. But what was so fortunate, you know, for Ford is that he selected Ford, and I personally think he did it because, you know, we've been with Roger in the past. Roger lives just 3 blocks over from where I live here, but he's a big fabric of Detroit and a big partner of Ford in a lot of other areas outside of racing. You know, obviously he's partnered with Chevy in IndyCar racing. And I don't know. I think it was a combination of several elements. One, you know, he's very close to Edsel Ford and Bill Ford and very involved in the community here, as which the Ford family is. You know, he ran the Super Bowl committee that ended up bringing the Super Bowl here to Detroit in the middle of winter, which was a, you know, spectacular accomplishment on everybody's part to make that happen up here. But I think it had to do with the history. You know, the Ford family, the Ford Motor Company, priorities, you know, of each of the manufacturers had long term from racing. You know, the resources that Ford can bring to an organization like Team Penske. But it just worked out so well, and it was a thrill for me to be able to, you know, work with them. And I worked with them very extensively in the year leading up to, you know, their final race where Brad won the championship, because we had to get everything ready to get, you know, for the very next year. And just a real treat and experience for me to get in on the ground level with all their marketing folks and drivers and start working with them early on, launch them, and then see the successes that we all had with them, you know, with their performance last year, and both not only in Sprint Cup with Brad and Joey winning all the races and both making it into the chase, but also to watch the 22 Discount Tire Mustang win the Owners' Championship in the Xfinity Series. I mean, very, very successful year. And we're very proud, you know, that we've got a great relationship with them for years to come.
Of course, Tim. Of course. And I want to thank you for what you do for the sport and what Ford has done for the sport. And I got a little funny I want to tell before I hand you over to my good friend Stephen Wilson. You know, myself and Suzanne, we talked to you at Talladega this past October. And, you know, I could tell. I told Suzanne, I said, Tim's sitting on pins and needles. He wants that two car in the chase. He's got to get that two car in the chase. And it happened. I mean, the stars aligned. And me and Suzanne, we were in the media center listening to Roger and Paul Wolf and of course, Brad. And whenever Brad come down, he come back toward the back, you know, walking out. And I give him a fist pump. He give me a fist pump. Well, Suzanne was going to give him a fist pump. He reached down and just gave Suzanne a big old hug.
Yeah, that was a special moment. I remember that. And, you know, it was like Babe Ruth pointing at the fence, like, this is my time, I'm going to do it. And if he didn't go out and do it, and it just getting him into the chase after the year he had last year. And I really thought, you know, I mean, he made a great run in the chase, but you can never count Brad out. You can't count him out at any track. And you know, he's going to be, in my opinion, you know, the favorite to win it all again when we get up and running starting in Daytona. And when the dust settles and we're at Ford Championship weekend, I think you're going to see Brad, you know, in the thick of it, as he was most of this year, too.
Yes, sir, I would definitely agree. And I know your time's limited, but thank you again. And mine and Suzanne's next trip is going to be Richmond, so maybe we'll see you at Richmond in April. We've got Richmond and Talladega back-to-back, and then, of course, the next Talladega race. And I think Stephen Wilson and I think we're going to try to go to Ford Championship weekend next year, too, Stephen.
You have to come to Ford Championship weekend. It's the best race on the circuit. I want you to see firsthand how Ford activates there. We've got a 40,000-square-foot display, and everywhere you turn and look, it's Ford, Ford, Ford. And, I mean, three championships, you know, are identified and celebrated there. And so many people, I mean, it's a little bit tough to get to Miami, I know, but it's the weather's nice. Fly on down, and I guarantee you, once you go, you'll go every year.
Okay. Well, you've made my decision because Stephen keeps harping on me. You want to go, you want to go. So you've made my decision. Myself, Suzanne, Stephen Wilson, his wife, Anne-Marie, we will definitely be at Ford Championship weekend next year. And, Tim, thank you. I'm going to hand you over to my good friend Stephen Wilson and let him finish you out because I know your time's limited. But thanks again, bud. Here's Stephen Wilson.
Always a pleasure, Tim.
Thanks,
hey, Tim. Steve Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. You
Hi,
touched
Steve.
A little bit on this earlier where you guys obviously announced that you were pulling out of the NHR series, and over the years you've cut down your involvement in the truck series. I know that there's some involvement still with Brad Keselowski Racing. But you taking a look back at 2014, and Ford was in victory lane over a dozen times within the series. It was arguably one of your best years in recent memory since probably about 2003 or so. How do you feel that pulling out of the other series and kind of combining into the Sprint Cup and next, and well, sorry, I was about to call it the Nationwide Series, the Xfinity Series.
You got to put a dollar in the the jar when you do that.
Oh, I know. I don't know how many times I'm going to do it, but how do you feel that, you know, with that withdrawal from other aspects of motorsports and kind of brought that over into the Sprint Cup, especially
yeah.
with Roger Penske and those guys that really had a good year, do you feel that that's kind of helped you guys out to more solidify and kind of market directly into the series that you feel is going to be the best for Ford Racing as a whole?
Yeah, I do. It was a business decision. I mean, everybody loves John Force and his family. I mean, he is Elvis. He is the ultimate when it comes to NHRA. And Bobby Tasca Jr., who ran competitively there, and Tim Wilkerson, you know, phenomenal drivers and advocates and salespeople for Ford. And we just looked at the overall sports and growth, and going back to what I talked to Tim about earlier, you know, 2008, 2009, when, you know, you have to really make priority decisions as to where you want to invest the limited resources that you have. And even though we had a spectacular year from Ford's standpoint for sales and marketing in 2014 and had a great year in 2013, our motorsports budgets aren't getting any bigger. We're not getting any new money that the company is giving us to go and activate and compete. Because, you know, 80% of all the money that we spend is based on competition. And in our company, you know, racing is a marketing program. So we had to be very frugal as to where we were going to spend it and how we were going to spend it. And we also have to look at growth and where we want to grow in the future based on a fan base and the demographics that those are following the sport. So decisions were made. Unfortunately, we're not in NHRA. I really enjoyed working with the teams, and I really enjoyed working with the sanctioning body out of California and miss working with them already. But, you know, we had to look at some other areas, you know, like Rallycross and Action Sports, our investments that we have in those series, Global Rally, and also getting into NASCAR's IMSA USAC racing in the Daytona prototype, and then in some of the new series that are aligned in now with IMSA. And that all required additional investments. So it's moving some money around, and we've got a big announcement coming up next week at the Detroit Auto Show, the North American International Auto Show, about a car and some things that we're going to be doing in this new series. So, you know, all that takes money, and when you have limited set budgets, you have to prioritize where you want to be and where you want to race and what fans and what new customers you want to go after for the product line, you know, that Ford has and markets within motorsports. So tough decisions are made every day when it comes to running a company as big as Ford and an industry as cyclical as our business can be. So we think we've made the right decisions. And certainly in NASCAR, just for going back to NASCAR for a minute, you know, we've had the number one selling truck in the world for 38 years and the number one selling vehicle in the world for the last 34 years in the Ford truck. And you know, we were heavily invested in off-road truck racing, and it was hard, you know, to relate to you know, speed from a truck on a track, even though we've been in truck racing all along through NASCAR, so the decisions were made to scale that back. And, you know, 2-3 years ago, you didn't even see a Ford running around in the Camping World Truck Series. And then, of course, we pick up Team Penske, and you get a superstar driver in Brad Keselowski that's got a truck team. And you certainly don't want to see Brad out there driving or any of his team drivers driving in a Toyota or Chevy while he's, you know, motoring in a Mustang and a Fusion in Xfinity and Sprint Cup. So, you know, there are things that we're doing to help. I wish we could help more. Brad helps we could, you know, help more. But he's very competitive. The 29 and the 19 truck ran very competitively this year. We're excited to see Tyler Riddick back in the 19. And, you know, we don't quite know what the driver mix is going to be yet in the 29. But, you know, with Cooper Standards behind the sponsorship of that vehicle, we know that truck's going to be competitive. And he's done a lot with very little in that series to you know, put Ford back in victory lane. And you know, he almost won a championship. The 29 and Ryan Blaney almost won a championship. He was competitive right up to the last race. So, you know, more to come. Who knows where and if we can expand more in that series. But our focus is obviously where the fans are, in the TV market. And, you know, that's Sprint Cup and Xfinity, and that's where, you know, the lion's share of our resources go, because we want to win drivers' championships and manufacturers' championships in both of those two series. So with the limited budgets that we have, that's where we want to compete the strongest.
And just a matter of a couple of years ago, I mean, NASCAR went through a brand identity crisis with the vehicles that were on track, and the old adage of win on Sunday, win on sell on Monday wasn't really working out, because as fans, you couldn't tell what was what out on the racetrack. And I know you guys, Chevrolet, Dodge, when they were going through the rebuilding of the car, ultimately, you know, they didn't come back, and Toyota went to NASCAR and says, we've got to do something about this. We need to be where people can recognize us, not only on the racetrack, but they can walk into the showroom on Monday morning and point the car out that they saw. How has that been able to transition back over that after that identity crisis that NASCAR was going through, back into the Gen 6 car that now obviously looks more like something you and me and anybody can walk into a showroom on Monday morning and point a vehicle out?
It's still not perfect. It's much better than, you know, the car of tomorrow. And, you know, Gen 6 and that, you know, the three manufacturers worked hand in hand with NASCAR to get that brand relevance back, because it's so important to us. And it's going to get better and better in the future. You're going to see a lot of new things happening with the car down the road that's going to make a Fusion really look like a Fusion, a Mustang really look like a Mustang, from the track right to the showroom floor. And you know, keep in mind, though, we run those three vehicles in NASCAR, the Fusion and Sprint Cup, the Mustang and Xfinity, and the F-150 truck in the Camping World Truck Series. But we're really out there in NASCAR to polish the blue oval and showcase all of our products. You know, we do the best we can with the guidelines that we have to make them look like the cars that are on the highway or in the showroom. But people know, I mean, people know there's a big difference, and it's obvious. But it's all about Ford. It's all about technology, resources, quality, fuel efficient. What we stand for in our brand, you know, we want people to see in the products that are also out there winning races on the racetracks. And but with 75 million people involved in the awareness of NASCAR and following the sport, we want to polish that blue oval. We want to engage with them. And they may not be interested in a Ford Fusion, but they're going to know about Ford. They're going to know about our great product lineup, and they're going to come visit us, see us. And a lot of what I do behind the scenes in NASCAR, too, is to go after,
you know, the business fleet vehicles with the partners that are within the sport. We engage them. We engage our race fans to sign up and opt in with us so we can send them information. We'll survey them. And if they're interested in a certain product like a Ford Taurus or a Ford Focus or a Fiesta ST, we'll send them information. They may even get some special offers. And we'll engage with them, find out what their interests are, and hopefully get them into a dealership and purchase one of our vehicles. And what's great about a vehicle purchase is we can track those. Once we know who's interested and who's considering us and they give us their information, we can track them to see if they ever go within a certain 120-day period of time and purchase or lease the vehicle. And if they do, we can kind of give ourselves a count and a pat on the back saying, hey, you know, they met us at a racetrack, or they joined us on an online sweepstakes that I ran with Sherwin-Williams, you know, over the summer. And, you know, after some communications with Ford, they bought a vehicle, and that's a big accomplishment for us. And when you start looking at the statistics that Ford, you know, tracks with all of that, the numbers are just astounding. And it all starts with just the fact that they're a race fan. They followed Ford, you know, maybe they followed Brad Keselowski, they signed up, we engaged with them, you know, got them to improve their consideration and, you know, get them into the dealership. And when they buy a vehicle, it becomes very rewarding. So we're in it, you know, for the whole brand and all the vehicles and all, even, you know, quick lane service and Motorcraft parts. The whole gamut of what Ford has to stand for is what we try to market to these race fans, and they are very loyal. They're very loyal to those that compete within the sport.
And my final question, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight, and you know, good luck in 2015. We're getting ready to kick the season off here in, what, about 40-ish odd days.
It's getting close.
It is. We were just like 93 days when we left out of Miami, and now we're down 50%. And we're already at 40-some days now. So looking towards the future of Ford racing in NASCAR, where would you guys like to see yourselves in the next couple of years? Obviously, you know, winning the championships is high on any manufacturer's list, but looking at the technology, where NASCAR has been, where they're going, where do you feel that you guys would like to be in the next couple of years?
Well, you know, we're changing every day at Ford, and you know, we've been conducting this whole interview saying Ford Racing, but I don't know if a lot of the fans listening even know, but we're not Ford Racing anymore. We've changed our name. And we did a press release on this about a month ago to let people know that Ford Racing has changed to Ford Performance. You know, we're a global company at Ford, and we've got a lot of global initiatives that are related to performance. And we're going to really focus on bringing more performance vehicles to the market. So what we're doing now is we're tying Ford Performance together with racing, our racing engineering, our performance vehicles like the Shelby GT 350, performance parts and accessories that we do so well with, and we're blending it all together in a global platform, you know, under one Ford. And so you're going to see the Ford Racing logo go away. You're going to see a Ford Performance Group logo coming out, and then you're going to see all our resources within Ford in those specific categories. The people that build Focus ST, the people in Europe that build Focus RS, Fiesta ST, Shelby, Raptor, all these products that we do, they're going to all work hand in hand to also make us perform better, not only in NASCAR, but in all the platforms and series that we compete in around the world, and we're going to become more and more global. Now, through all that, relative to your show and you know, my area of specialty in NASCAR, you know, that's going to help us become a better provider of resources to Team Penske, Roush Fenway Racing, because we've got global resources now. We got people that don't only just work on racing, but work on all gamuts of the performance world. And you know, we've added a new tech center now in the Concord. It's right, it's located right behind the NASCAR tech center that's got a simulator. And that simulator is going to be so valuable, important to our teams and drivers, especially with, you know, with no testing coming up, you know, next year where they can't go out and test. Within the simulators, they can drive and simulate what's going on these tracks. So our objectives remain very, very clear and solid to win the Sprint Cup Championship, the Xfinity Drivers Championships, and also the Manufacturers Championships, to do as best as we can in the Camping World Truck Series, hopefully win Brad, you know, maybe Tyler Reddick this year, you know, a championship there. But those are the ultimate goals. But long term, we're going to use the resources of Ford as a major global company, and the resources that we have around the world from a performance standpoint, we're going to umbrella it under total Ford performance, you know, really come out swinging this year as to what you'll see from us from an on-track standpoint in performance. So performance is a part of our name now, Ford Performance. You'll see the logo showing up on shirts, hats. You'll see it on the haulers. And, you know, everything's going to be done, though, you know, bottom line, to still promote and polish the Blue Oval.
Well, Tim, I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. And I'm going to have to get with Matt at PCG. I did not get that press release about Ford Racing being transformed over. I'll definitely have to get with him on that to make sure that I stay up to date on everything that's going on. And you guys, like I said, good luck this year in 2015. You guys had a heck of a season last year with everybody. Everybody from Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano, everybody out there, Ryan Blaney, you're on an upswing, that's for sure.
Well, we hope to keep it going and even improve upon that. And, you know, come Homestead Ford Championship next year, you know, I want to make sure we've got one or two, maybe even three running in the final four. And you know, we've got to win it this time. It's you know, we haven't won it since Kurt Busch won it back in 2004. And we're long overdue, and I think we've got a great plan in place. So hopefully we'll execute it. The teams will perform like they did this year, and we'll finally bring home some of the big hardware down there at Homestead. But thanks to Tim, you know, Suzanne, Steve, and yourself, and enjoyed being on your show. Hope to come on again sometime, and hope to see you. I guess next stop would be your stop would be Richmond.
My stop, yes, will be Richmond, and Tim will be along with me for that trip.
Okay, well, till then, all the best, and root for us in Daytona, okay?
Will do. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for having me on. Bye-bye.
Okay, Stephen, that was Tim Durr from Ford Motor Company. He knows what he's talking about, bud, and, I mean, you know, golly, he does a great job for the sport. I mean, Ford does great. Well, all manufacturers, Ford, Chevy, Toyota, they all do a great job for the manufacturer, Stephen. But I mean, that was a lot of information that you get out of him that I really love listening to. But we want to bring Tony B on here. We've got Tony B. We've got Patrick Staropoli, if I don't mess that up. He's in. Suzanne's got him over there muted. But Stephen, you want to stay on for a little bit with Tony B. and his section, everything open wheel with Patrick?
Yeah, I'll hang out for a couple more minutes.
Okay. All right, let's bring on Tony B., my good friend, front tire carrier for Dario Franchitti when he won the 2012 Indianapolis 500. Let's bring Tony B. in the pit stop with Tim Espana and Stephen Wilson. Tony B., there's your intro. How you doing, bud?
Hey, I'm doing just fine. How are you folks? And it's 2015 this year, and it's going to be a great year for Pit Stop Radio and Speedway Digest and Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson. And I'm really excited about doing the show tonight. And God bless you guys, and thanks for having me back.
You're very welcome, bud. And I want to bring your guest on. And if you don't mind, Tony, can we let Stephen talk to Patrick
first?
Yeah,
go right ahead. Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to bring driver number 8 Ford, in the ARCA Racing Series presented by Menards, Mr. Patrick Starpolio. And Patrick, if I mess it up, I'm sorry. You're in the pit stop with Tim Despain, Stephen Wilson, and Tony B.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Patrick, how you doing tonight, my friend? I didn't mess your last name up, did I? I'm just old dirt road country boy from Alabama now.
No, man, you're pretty close. It's Starpoli. That was quite an introduction, though. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome, bud. And, you know, like I said, you're in the pit stop, Tim Spanish, Stephen Wilson, but this is Tony B's hour. Tony does the second hour, everything open wheel, but he does ARCA, he does, yeah, I mean, just anything. But Stephen Wilson's waiting here on the side. Stephen's very busy, and Stephen's going to have to go. So, Patrick, I'm going to hand you over to Stephen Wilson if he has any questions for you, and then he'll go with me and Tony to talk.
Yeah, sounds good. Stephen, fire away.
Hey, Patrick. Steve Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. You tested in the number 8 for Empire Racing in the ARCA Racing Series here just a couple weeks ago there at Daytona, and there was a lot of talk about the new Elmore engine that's going to be introduced this year. Can you kind of talk a little bit about the new engine package that's going to be in the ARCA Racing Series and how it differentiates between the old engine that some of the teams are still running? And what do you think is going to be the biggest issue for some of those guys that are not able to make the investment in the new engines?
Yeah, well, I mean, first off, just the opportunity to go down there and test for Empire at Daytona was huge. I mean, the way that all came together was their original driver ended up getting sick, and they called me the night before and ended up meeting somebody. So I got in the car, drove down from Charlotte, got to the track at 4 a.m., hopped out, got in the car, and then you know, went around Daytona for my first time ever. So it was pretty crazy story that got me there. And, you know, fortunately, you're asking about the motor stuff. I ended up getting to take laps in both of the cars that Empire brought. One had, you know, the old D motor in it, and the other one had the new Elmore. And I think, you know, once we were in a pack drafting, the two of them pretty similar as far as, you know, being able to pull up on people and everything like that. But the Elmore was just such a, you know, being fuel injected is such a clean burn that it has. I mean, even when you're taking off or driving around the pits, it's a lot easier to manage than a carbureted motor. And out there on the track, I guess I noticed, you know, going through the corners, the older motor kind of could get bogged down a little bit more. And definitely if you tried to ride the brake or get out of the throttle, it took a lot to get it sped back up. And the Elmore just didn't seem to kind of have that hesitancy to it. So I think, you know, looking towards the future, something that's more up to date with the technology and something that, you know, a lot of people can get into with the technology, I think is a good direction for the series to go. Right now, just working out the bugs on all those things is kind of what makes it complicated. So overall, man, thumbs up. We were fast both days, so I have no complaints about it.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of back and forth. I was watching some of the stuff with the ARCA Racing Series and a lot of drivers, I think, were it's a huge investment to go over to those fuel-injected motors into, and I just kind of wanted somebody's opinion on somebody that had been out there and actually been able to see it and experience it a little bit firsthand. This year, as far as the ARCA Racing Series is, what are your plans as far as this year? Are you going to continue with Empire Racing, or are you looking for a ride with somebody else at this point going into Speed Weeks here in about 35 days or so?
Yeah, so Speed Weeks is definitely coming up fast. And, you know, basically the last, you know, big race I ran was a K&N race back at Iowa in May. And so since then I've been doing everything I can on my end to put myself in front of, you know, the right teams and the right people. And, you know, like I said, it was just a huge coincidence and twist of fate that ended up getting me in the car in Daytona. You know, it had been 6 or 7 months since I've been in one. So I was taking it as a very encouraging sign. I mean, I really liked working with the guys at Empire. Obviously, any race car driver trying to find a ride is talking to everybody on the planet to find out what's available. So right now, all I can say for sure is that, you know, I think we turned some heads at Daytona and got the attention of a lot of people, and I'm really hoping to be there next month to compete in the race. So fingers crossed right now.
Well, Patrick, I appreciate you taking the time. I'm going to throw you back over to Tim and Tony.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, yeah, Patrick. Stephen, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Wilson, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com and the co-host with me, Pit Stop Radio, with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson. Stephen, y'all have a good night. Tell Ann Marie and the boys, we said hello, bud.
Hi, bud. You
take
it easy,
brother.
Tony,
take care.
Take care.
Tony, take it easy.
Yeah. All right, you too. God bless you.
Bye.
Okay, Patrick. Yeah, that's one of my good friends up in Richmond, Virginia. Yeah, Patrick, I'm going to hand you over to Tony B. This is his segment. We don't want to jump in on his goings, and I'm sure Tony's got some questions, and he can tell you a little bit about what he's got going on as far as what he is doing. And then, Tony, when you get done, if you can, hand Patrick back over to me. I got a couple questions. Tony, you got the floor, my friend.
Okay. Patrick, I am really interested in your graduate. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
From a very, very fine school. And are you in? Are you trying to be a doctor?
Yeah. So, kind of, you know, my background's a little bit more unique than most race car drivers, I guess. I graduated from Harvard in 2012 with my degree
Amen.
In neurobiology. Yeah, thank you. And I've been a year and a half into med school right now. And, you know, kind of since all the racing stuff started happening, school's been working with me. I've been able to take some time off to try to pursue this. But, you know, I'm a year and a half into that right now, and I'm learning how to do stuff with a white coat on, with a fire suit on. So it's been a pretty unique adventure the last couple of years.
Well, I'm very intrigued by that. And what line are you headed in medically, general practitioner, or are you going to have a specialty, or?
Yeah, I'm really interested in neurology and ophthalmology, and those are kind of the two fields that I've done some research in and shadow doctors in, you know, in those two fields, and those are kind of the ones that have interested me the most so far.
Well, neurology speaking, you're talking to a very blessed man. thank God for you guys. since you know medical background, when it comes to safety with ARCA, what kind of device are you wearing to take care of your safety inside the car?
Yeah, I've been wearing a Hans device for at least, you know, the last 6 or 7 years now, and that's the thing that I never ran a hybrid or any of those other devices. I had a Hutchinson's for a little while, but kind of settled on the Hans, and that's what I've been most comfortable in the car with. And I've, you know, like most race car drivers, I've taken a couple bad licks myself and have walked away from all of them. You know, you can tell when you're in an accident, you know, which way you're hitting and which way your head's going. And several times,
uh-huh.
you know, I felt that the Hans hold on to me, and, you know, that's why I kind of stick with it.
And I assume you know the Hans device is made for frontal impact.
Say that one more time, sorry.
Yeah, the Hans device is made for front impact.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not really made for side impact, rear impact, or anything like that.
Yeah, the side to side, you're relying on the hot headrest mostly there.
Right. One thing, did you ever have any trouble with your collarbone areas or anything like that with the device after impact?
Yeah, I've never experienced that. I know, you know, since kind of where it's tugging and where the belts are, it's the pressure's right on top of your collarbone there. So I know that there's a chance for, depending how you hit, to feel it in that area, but luckily I haven't.
Okay, fantastic. There's just a device out there, and the Pit Stop Radio and Tim Despain and myself have something to do with it. It's Brace Yourself, and it's something I'd like to introduce you to. And you never know. We may put our name on your car and see how fast you can really go. You know, there's nothing better than a fast doctor.
Nope. Trust me. It works out in the operating room and on the racetrack for everybody. So,
You're going to be full-time with ARCA in 2015.
Oh, I'm hoping so. I don't know for sure yet. Do you know something I don't know?
No, I wouldn't tell you that. But
yeah.
You're doing the right things and talking to the right people. And and it's a fantastic way to go. And I do have a background in that type of racing.
Mm-hmm.
For some 10 years, I was National Safety Director for the American Speed Association.
Oh, cool.
We brought up, you know, the Saunders and Mark Martin and Kowicki.
Yep.
And, you know, just all of them.
That was some of the best racing back then, yeah.
Oh, it was. You know, I tell you what, I wasn't born in Wisconsin, but I sure have spent a lot of time there. They like to run up there in Michigan, and but a lot of good things. And have you run anything else, Patrick, other than you said you used to run some K&N?
Yeah, so last year I ran a total of 7 K&N races, and that was after I won the Peak Challenge that Michael Waltrip Racing and Peak Moto put together. And that was kind of my
awesome.
First opportunity. Thank you. That was kind of the first chance I had to race in, you know, a series as high as NASCAR or, you know, similar to ARCA or anything like that. And that's what got my foot in the door. But most of my background, I've been racing for over 10 years now and started off in go-karts, moved up to pure stock,
absolutely.
Ran that for about a year. And then the last 5 or 6, I've been competing in super late models down in Florida, which is where I'm from. I live in Fort Lauderdale. So getting around
fantastic.
To all the Florida racetracks. And, yeah, it's a family-run deal. I mean, me, my dad, and my best friend Anthony worked on, you know, the same car for the last 6 or 7 years now. And, you know, racing locally like that and trying to – and hoping that you put yourself in the right place at the right time to get noticed and to have a contest come along like the Peak deal and get that shot and now, you know, get
right.
you know, get all the way to the point where I could run Daytona. It's just been a pretty crazy journey, but I'm enjoying it.
So you did test at Daytona and
mm-hmm.
had good results?
Yeah, I was very happy with how everything turned out down there. I went down not really having a lot of expectations or knowing how fast the car would be or what it would be like working with the team. And the afternoon session on the first day, we set fast time. And then on the second day, I think we were second or third in one of the practices. So, you know, overall, on the weekend, we had 2 of the top 3 spots because I ended up driving 2 different cars. So I was beyond thrilled with how that went and, you know, really excited for what it may mean in the future.
And you were impressed with the Elmore?
I was impressed with what?
The Elmore?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I only got to make 1 run in that car. That was the car Sean Corr was driving at the Elmore. And,
uh-huh.
and we went out 1 time with that, and I've never driven, you know, besides on the regular road, never raced anything with fuel injection before. And that was just, it was a little bit to get used to, just driving around in the pits. Not, you know, obviously once you're wide open out there, there's just small differences that you notice, but I really liked it.
This is just a question, but is Elmore with Chevrolet only, or are they on all motors, you know, in all cars?
Yeah, they're in all the cars. So I think it's based off of a Chevrolet, if I'm not mistaken. But since it's a
yes.
spec motor, you can run it in any car.
Yeah, my son, you know, I won the Indianapolis 500 in 2012. My son won it in 2013. He was the program analyst and engine guy for Tony Kanaan.
Oh, cool.
Working for Elmore Chevrolet.
Of right there.
Out of Detroit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was really excited to see Elmore step into NASCAR and
mm-hmm.
ARCA and this kind of stuff. And I really wanted to know how you felt about it. And sounds very, very good. Is Daytona the first race for you folks this year in 2015?
Yeah, I'm really hoping so. I mean, we're working kind of a bunch of different angles right now to find out how I can be in a seat of any car down there for the race. Obviously, the clock's ticking and it's coming up fast, so hopefully in the next couple of weeks I'll have something nailed down for sure. But I know I had a ton of fun testing down there, and I think racing would just be on an incredibly another level. So hopefully I'll be there for it.
Now, does your ARCA testing and driving, does that qualify you to pass the testing that is required by NASCAR to drive in one of their divisions?
As far as I know, the ARCA test cleared me to run the ARCA race, and then if you run the ARCA race, stay out of trouble, and you know, finish decently and everything, then you'll be cleared to do any of the NASCAR races. So a lot of guys ran the ARCA race last year to get cleared to run the Nationwide or Xfinity, whatever you want to call it, a race that
I think it's Xfinity. It's 2015, my man.
Yeah, we're in the middle of the off-season, so I don't know which date we're going to convert officially, but yeah, I'm trying to get used to it. It's still the Busch series as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know what? I got to give it to you. You know, I still call it the Busch series. And,
yeah.
a few weeks ago, Tiger Tom Pistone was on the radio, and, you know, him and I go way back, and Jody Ridley, and, you know, all kinds of people that used to run back in the day, and, you know, I enjoy that, and I don't care what series it is, let's just make them run fast, and if they can rub some fenders and bumpers together trying to get past one another, that's
I'm
all
with you
matter.
On that. Line them up and let them go.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, you're a doctor, or you're going to be. You're a very qualified individual. I'm very proud of you. What's your smallest short track across the nation? Where do you grind your teeth in and go, I really like that track?
Well, it's currently a Lowe's parking lot, so it doesn't exist anymore. But Hialeah Speedway down in Miami is where I started out. It's a flat third-mile track. It's where I ran, you know, pure stocks and ran the truck series there for a little while. And that's basically where I cut my teeth and learned to race. And my dad ran there for about 20 years, and it was, you know, a half hour away from my house. So definitely the home track growing up. I spent pretty much every Saturday night there, and that's I think that's, you know, where I learned most of where I got right now.
Well, hey, if you're good on a go ahead, sir.
Tony. I hate to put in, but Suzanne has a caller that wants to ask Patrick a question. Can I bring this caller on? I have no name.
Oh, please do. Absolutely.
There we go. Cool.
Okay. This is a caller from the 717 area code. Caller from the 717 area code. You're in the pit stop, Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson, and you're in the segment with Tony B and Patrick Stropolio. You have a question for Patrick?
I do. First of all, I'd say thanks for taking my call. Big fan of the show. You guys do a great job. Pit Stop is awesome.
Thank you.
So I got a quick question for Patrick. So, you know, being from Harvard and all, I'm a big fan of yours too, but how in the world did you go from being in grad school to be a doctor? And then this Kick Stock Car Dream Challenge thing, how did you get there? And how did you go from there to winning a race? I just don't get it, man.
I love it.
Thank you very much for the question. The answer is pretty complicated. You know, I don't know. It's just the way things fell together. It's just a crazy series of events. And, you know, growing up, school was always a priority for me. And, you know, I knew if the racing didn't work out, I'd have something solid to fall back on. And I raced, you know, while I was at Harvard, I'd come home and race over the summer, race over spring break, race over winter break. Actually, my senior spring, I came home for spring break and ended up getting the win. And I brought the trophy back to Harvard with me. So that was probably the coolest thing that happened while I was there. But, you know, it's always, you know, school's been the priority. No bonus points, but TSA put me through tech inspection at the airport. So they don't like trophies very much. But, no, it was just, you know, the way the peak thing fell together, I was at that point probably a year into med school and saw the advertisement on TV, and all you had to do was, you know, put in a 90-second video saying why they should sponsor you. And I had an off weekend after a test, and I'm like, you know, why not? Why can't this happen for me? And, you know, put that video on there. They saw it. They picked 10 of us to go to Charlotte. It worked out that it was over summer break from med school, so I didn't miss any class, and went there and won the thing and couldn't even believe it. So it seems like every time that, you know, you come up against a barrier and think the racing's not going to go any further, you keep trying and this door opens. And I've been very fortunate that door kind of keeps opening for me so far.
Well, that's awesome. I'm just happy to hear it for you. You know, it's just crazy to hear a story like that. It's not, you know, it's not common for the racing world to have someone of your caliber in there. and it's just pretty cool to see it. I wish you the best of luck in 2015.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate the call.
Hey, well, thanks again, Pit Stop. My name is it's Sarah with no H, which is kind of unmanly, but hey, you know, it's all good. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. You're welcome. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. And tune in later. Okay, Tony, I'll give it back over to you, bud. You got the floor. I'm stepping aside.
Oh, well, that's fine. I was just going to, you know, talking about, you said a third mile flat track. Was that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Have you ever had the possibility or chance to ever run the Milwaukee Mile?
I have not, but I would love to, because that's basically the big version of
Hialeah. If you can run a third mile flat and do well, you can run up there and do well, because let me tell you, it doesn't have any banking to it, and it's flat, and it's a mile track, and I'm thinking I know who I'm rooting for. Let's get you a sponsor and a ride and get you up there, Xfinity Series.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I mean, I always love playing any of the flat tracks on all the NASCAR games, Milwaukee, Martinsville. I mean, they said, you know, Hialeah used to be so flat when it rained, the rain would run towards the wall instead of the infield because it had banking going the wrong way. I mean, that's how flat the place was. So I think I'd love Milwaukee.
Hey, Patrick, this is Tim again. I thought Tony just dropped. He's probably on his cell phone. But I'm sure
okay,
he'll
no
be
worries.
Right back. But, Patrick, I know your time is limited. I have another good friend of mine, Mr. Todd Bigsby from upstate New York. His home track's Watkins Glen. I want to bring him on here in just a minute. But I think I see Tony calling back in. But I just want to read off some of your stats. I know you didn't think I was following you. Your career totals, 34 wins, 104
mm-hmm.
top five. 128 top tens and 144 races, dating back from go-karts in 2003, Cyclone in 2004, Fast Kids in 2005, Fast Trucks 2006-2007,
yep.
Late Models
mm-hmm.
2010 to present, and NASCAR K&M Pro Series. You had the one win, which was Irwindale
yep.
Speedway. You finished first, and you had a two starts with a win at Irwindale and a third place, and I can't remember. Was that Iowa, Patrick? I can't
Iowa,
remember.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And I just want to tell all of our listeners, I mean, you know, Patrick driving here in the ARCA Series, which he's going to be driving here in the ARCA Series, but with just two races in the K&M Pro Series West and a first and a third, good Lord, sponsors, y'all got to jump on this. I mean, somebody, come on. Please, Patrick, I just wanted to congratulate you for all that, and I know your time is limited, and like I said earlier, I got my good friend Todd Bigsby from upstate New York. He's been he's a very good supporter of the show, and I'm sure he has a question for you. If I can, I want to bring Todd on and let him ask you a question, and then we'll see what happens, bud.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Bring him on.
Okay. Todd Bigsby, you're in the Pit Stop, Tim is funny, Stephen Wilson, but you're in the segment, Everything Up and Wheel with Tony B with Patrick Starpolio.
Hey, Todd, Patrick, how are you?
There we go. How's it going, man?
Good. I keep up with you on Facebook, so I kind of get to keep up more than what most people do, so I'm glad
cool.
that at least you were able to make it onto the show, and I can't wait for your 2015 season. I enjoy keeping up when we can't watch it on TV. So appreciate all the updates.
Yeah, thanks very much, man.
So you got a busy schedule, and I enjoy hearing the story of you going from a doctor to racing.
Yeah, it's juggling a whole lot, but, you know, being able to kind of pursue two things that I'm really passionate about, you know, I know how lucky I am, and, you know, how many people would would kill to either get into med school or get into a race car, and I know, you know, how fortunate it is I get to do both.
You know, I just want to say, you know, good luck in 2015, and I enjoy keeping up on you, and go out there and just kick some butt and show them how it's done.
Thanks a lot, man. That's the plan.
Hey, thanks for having me, bud.
Yeah, no problem. Give me a shout out on Facebook. I'll write you back.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Thanks, Todd. Todd, I'll put you back over me. Okay, Tony B's back. Patrick, and I know your time is limited, so I'm going to bring Tony B back on and let him have his final thoughts, and then I'll let him hand you back over to me, and we'll end everything up, bud. So we're going to bring Tony B back on. Okay, thanks, Patrick. Tony B.
Hey, Tony.
Well,
Tony
B, I'll tell you what, Patrick and Tim, it was like I hit the wall in turn four at Salem and got upside down and my phone hung up. I just don't understand it. But I had Brace Yourself on, and I knew the great Dr. Patrick was on the phone, and Suzanne and Tim would take care of me, and I am back, and we got to get you some money, Patrick, and you are a very blessed man. You're doing Harvard graduate, yeah, well, that is very wonderful. You know, of course, I would expect the next time you have a victory dinner, because you're going to win a lot of races, and you have it at Harvard. I could come here and speak. I could put my good side on if I need to.
Tony, you can both get away from Harvard.
I'm sure they'd love to have you there, man. Don't listen to them.
Patrick, I want to throw something out there. Tony B has, if you don't mind, Tony B has the Indianapolis 500 championship ring from 2012. He has a 2013 Rolex 24 Hours a Day Daytona championship ring. And he's promised me that when he comes to Dega, that I can wear them rings, which Suzanne says Tony is Tony is her bodyguard. But I hadn't seen him in Dega yet, but I would love to wear the Indianapolis 500 championship ring, wouldn't you, Patrick?
That would be awesome, yeah.
Well, Patrick, there's only one guy that can give anybody permission to wear one of those rings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's after Suzanne takes them off her toes, because I have size 12 fingers, and I know she ain't got no fingers that big. We're going to have to put it on her big toes. But when Suzanne says Tim can have the rings, then Tim's in charge of them, and not until then. And if he says Patrick Sarapoli can wear one of them rings and get a picture, by golly, we'll do it, buddy.
You know, that sounds like a plan to me. If it's an Indy 500 ring, I don't care whose toe it's been on. That's got to be awesome.
You daggum right, Patrick. You daggum right. Now, Patrick, I know your time is limited. And, Tony, I hate to jump in, but just want to let Patrick thank you again for coming on the show. And do you want to throw out to our listeners and everything where they can follow you at on social media?
Yeah, well, thank you very much for having me on. Everyone can follow along on this crazy journey and see the next twist it's going to take. You can go patrickstarapoli.com. Follow on Twitter or Instagram at 97patrickstar is a handle. And then, of course, you know, you can find us on Facebook. So try to keep everything of that stuff as updated as possible, because every single week now it seems like something crazy is happening. So thanks very much for having me on tonight, and hopefully you'll have some more news to share with you guys soon.
That'd be great, Patrick.
Just let us know. And I don't know when Talladega is going to do their open test, but Russell Branham, public relations director there at Talladega, always gives me a call and invites me out for the Arcadega test. And I hope you make it there, and I will definitely see you there for that open test. And Tony, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. You got
Patrick. Oh, that's all right. I just wanted to tell Patrick, I hit him up on Twitter tonight, and I am on Instagram as well and Facebook. And like me back, I'd like to start some conversation between the two of us about Brace Yourself and being in the divisions you're in and knowing the things that you know with your background. Yeah, it's, you're a good man for the job. And, just thank the rest of your motorsports people and your sponsors, and we'll let you go. And God bless you for coming on the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Steven Wilson.
Yeah, no, sounds good. We'll get together on it. Tim, Steven, everyone, thank you very much for having me on the show. And, just got to look forward to what's coming here ahead of us. And I also want to give a shout-out to American RF and everybody there that also helped put us in that test at Daytona. So be in touch with you guys soon. Thanks very much again for having me on.
Thank you.
Tim Paul, welcome, bud. Good luck in Daytona. See you, my friend.
Thanks very much. Have a good night.
You too,
good
bud.
Night.
All right, Tony, a good segment and everything open wheel. I think everybody had a Merry Christmas. Everybody had a Happy New Year. We say we play a song and sign off for the night. What do you think, bud?
I think that's a good thing, and I just want to tell all the people
I'll
out there listening. I'll
that ring first before Tim does.
Yes, ma'am. I made that clear. I just said it might be on your big toes.
Okay. All right. Let's end the show.
Okay.
Okay. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, from Talladega, Alabama.
The Pit Stop.
Now I ain't saying them L.A. ladies don't know what they do. I've been in love with New York City a time or two. I had some Seattle coffee, some Chicago wind, some Kansas wheat fields I'd love to see again. But the fireflies play where the cattails grow, and them southern girls, they talk nice and slow with kisses sweeter than Tupelo. Talking about